Welcome, everybody, to Season 2, Episode 11 of The Psychologists Are In. I am Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Ombudson.
And today, we have a super fun episode for you guys. We are talking about There's Something About Mira, the one where Sean realizes his best friend got married and never told him. It was also our very first psych cast and crew field trip. We got to go to wine country, so we have a lot of stories here. This was a very, very fun episode. Excited for you guys to listen. Enjoy.
You're going full faucet today.
I've got the full faucet today.
Full faucet between the glasses, the hair, and the jean shirt.
Oh, I feel like, oh, yeah. Well, now I wish I would have done my hair even more to like really faucet it up. But I'll take it. Hold on. Let me see if I can make it a little more faucety. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Maggie.
How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing really good. I miss you.
Good. I miss you, too.
I still have this thing here for you. So once you're fully tested negative and stuff, we still got to get together and exchange prezzies.
I love prezzies. And yes, we need to get together and exchange prezzies. Should I address my voice?
Maggie, have you been smoking again?
I know. I don't mind it. Remember when Phoebe in Friends, you know, she got the cold and then Smelly Cat came from that and she loved how she sounded when she sang. Right. I kind of feel like that right now.
Maggie, what's going on with your voice?
I'm just at the end of a little COVID, Tim.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. I hope at the end of it anyway. So I am on the mend, and but that is why I still sound this way. I'm sure people who've had it know the sort of linger. Well, I don't know. For me, I've had quite the stuffiness. So yeah, but I'm here and I'm so happy to see you. In fact, this has been the brightest spot of the last few days. I did my hair and put on some makeup.
I think you look fantastic.
Thanks, Tim.
Especially for someone who's been fighting COVID.
Thanks so much, Tim. You look
great.
I have
no excuse.
You look great too.
Thanks, Maggie.
You do. You do. You're, I love this haircut.
Thanks. I've already sent you like 25 pictures of this haircut, I think.
I love all of them.
Because that's what we do. Since I get a haircut, I send a picture to Maggie and go, how's it look?
But we do that for everything. I do that for every outfit, for like events, like whatever. I mean, we check in with each other on all things, everything. Not just life, but also fashion and wellness. Tim, and you wellness. Have checked in with me every single day.
Well, you're my bestie. I got to see how you're doing.
No, you've been so loving and wonderful. It's been so nice. We have something about Mira, which, I forgot. We'll talk about this episode and everyone in it, but I forgot how fun our little storyline was.
I totally did. No lie. I totally forgot we had that rivalry in this episode.
Completely forgot. It's good. I like it.
It's been like after all the years that have passed between an episode, between when we shot and I watched, I'll go, oh, that's right. We had that amazing thing, that moment that I loved doing so much.
Yes.
That happens every episode we watch now.
I know. It's always filled with some fun memory, fun thing. I think I saw something kind of flash by on Twitter today. I think like Steve Franks did an interview for something. And I just wanted to... I don't know. I feel like we haven't talked to Steve in a while. And I got as I watched the episode last night and I saw that today, I'm like, man, what a thing. What a thing he did, we did, and
are still doing.
And are still doing. It's just, it still blows my mind. But this episode from our, bank of memories was especially fun because it was our first... cast crew field trip.
It's our first field trip. And there's some epic stories that go along with that, which we will get into.
I don't even think I know all of your stories. I know some of mine that started with I had Tristan up there and oh my God, this is going to be so funny. We had our own plane. They like chartered us a plane like a very, very old school. Did you take the plane? Yeah, you were on the plane. Yeah. We were so excited when we got this episode because we knew we were going to get to go to the Okanagan Valley, which is BC's, kind of Canada's Napa. And we were all wine lovers. And
it's like, what? A trip to wine country? Why would we want to do that? That sounds awful.
Horrible. And they got us a plane. And I don't know when my kind of fear of flying ended, but I still had
Has it ever ended?
It has, almost completely. And I didn't do anything. I really don't know what... Something switched in me. I think my love of travel just finally trumped all fear that I don't know when it stopped. And it honestly was kind of, it was a slight fear. I wouldn't say it like never stopped me from running around and going places, but there was always anxiety that came with it. And especially, you know, small planes and, or, you know, I don't know, they're, I don't want to say old planes, but these sort of weird, I had a weird experience once on like a private jet. And I was like, are they not as safe as the others? Are they not, do they not have the same safety precautions? Anyway, and this leads me to our chartering of this plane that I want to say, if you remember it, when we got there, this was straight out of like the late 60s.
Yeah, it was an old 737, I think.
Okay. Yeah. But it was old or something. I don't know. And I remember being so nervous taking this flight. It's so stupid now when I think about it because
now, Maggie, you and I have flown together a lot with each other. It's one of my favorite things about our friendship is we spent many, many, many flights together. And for all y'all, so you just know, Maggie was the type who would, she would have her turbulent monitor up on your computer when you
hell yeah.
so she knew what we were getting into.
I could tell you the weather patterns. I've learned so much about the skies, and it's so funny. Again, like this all has gone away for me. I might check. Did you know? So there's a turbulence forecast app, everybody, and you can actually, you know, if you have any fear of flying or whatever, you can kind of predict a little bit where it's going to be. And I never did this. People used to think I did it to almost like panic myself. It actually did the opposite. It would like calm me because then I'd be like, oh, this was expected. As long as it's expected and we still took off, then everything's fine.
So, it also helps to know how many glasses of wine you should order.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That's the other calming part. That's the other at ease part. But I think I've like really zenned out on flying. I think it now has become, I would even say I don't remember the same fears. I should knock on something, but you know, even over the last 5 years, like this does feel like kind of an old thing for me. But you know what, Tim? I think you helped a lot. We had so many flights together. And it was so fun. I don't really remember post-psych being that afraid. Like, I feel like that it was somewhere in that era that my fear of just went away.
So either I helped it or I caused it originally. And then you and I stopped flying as much together, obviously, when we weren't going back and forth between Vancouver and L.A.
No, I would try to be on your flight so that I would be at ease. We were always on this. We tried to always be on the same flights. And it was always funny because I'd have to take like the 6 a.m. if I wanted to be on a flight with you because you always wanted to get home early so you could spend the majority of the weekend or the most time you possibly could with your kids and be there on the weekends. So I would tough it out to go with you at, you know, 4 a.m. or whatever, just so I could have my friend Tim on the flight with me.
Because you're a good friend.
And I would always laugh because I'd think if we had Bloody Marys or we had anything on the flight, that I would get to land and just like go take a nap. And you'd have to literally land and go to like a kid's pool party.
That's happened more than once, yes. And sometimes I'd have to sober up from the breakfast cocktails we had on the flight. That's
we're not good examples.
No, there's actually going to be a lot of, just so all the parents listening with their kids, just so you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about alcohol on this episode.
Oh, yes. We actually should give a warning.
Cautionary tale.
We went to wine country.
We went to wine country.
And it was our first field trip. And it was like, you know, we'd all been working for a while. This was pre-upfronts, pre-any of those trips that we got to have together. And we were established. Our family was established. Our crew family was established. We were a unit. And then we all got to take this flight. And I'll never forget, because like Tristan found a burrow of bees. I was throwing ball with her that morning, and she went to get the ball, and she came back covered, like that her little front end and a little on her back end too had bees. So we knew we had to make this flight, and we were still shooting in LA, and then we were all going to go catch the flight. And Mitch ran Tristan to the vet so she could get a Benadryl shot, but they were worried that she was too swollen to fly. So someone drove her out to the Okanagan. One of the drivers who was going out drove her out to the Okanagan for me.
I didn't know that. Maybe I didn't. I'd forgotten it. That's incredible. That's the kind of crew we had.
That's the kind of crew we had. Literally, our fur babies were their babies. Like, everybody took care of us. Everybody took care of each other and made everything happen. And I just remembered that story. It was like, I don't know. I think about Mitch, and I think about our driving team. I think about all those guys, at everybody. Like, what, I don't know what we would have done without them. They were wonderful. I mean, and I can say that about everybody on our crew, but, you know, they were really wonderful.
I mean, how many times Mitch drove our animals to the vet because we were working and couldn't make a vet appointment was quite amazing.
And sat there with them and relayed doctor's messages and, like, you know, amazing. Oh, so wonderful. We have so many stories on
this. So I just remember we all land in the Okanagan, and they take us to the hotel where the cast and crew is staying. And of course, like all professionals, we all immediately hit the bar because we're in wine country, remember? It's like it was kind of the first cast and crew party we had, I think.
Yeah, it really was, actually. I think it was the first real kind of cast crew, everybody together party. And we had like Kerry Washington as the guest star that week to do with Dulé. Like, it was so exciting on so many levels. Kerry, I think, sat right behind us on the flight, and I remember talking to her almost the most warm, kind, smart, loving human being still to this day. Whenever we see her out, I've met her, a couple of times. Just, we did Psych, but then, like, and she's just the nicest, warmest person always. Always remembers us. Always.
I think I ran into Kerry the day of my Gallivant test over at ABC. She was walking in around the building with her manager. And so I got to see her, and she was very grounded because she was so sweet. And big fat star, Kerry Washington's remembering me and being very nice. That helped me a lot going to my Gallivant test audition. And kill it. So we're all in the bar area consuming the fares of the Okanagan. Just lots of club soda. And with our crew, and I'll never forget this moment. I looked to my right, and there was two of our crew members who have become dear friends of you and I. Well, all of us. It was the first time I went, oh, there's something going on here. And I noticed the love connection between these two. And we're not going to name their names, but sure enough, I think they are now, certainly together. They're partners, but I don't know if they're actually married, but two of our favorite people. And I was like, oh, this... Who then went on to be like our probably favorite crew couple for the whole rest of the season or the rest of the show.
Yes.
But the Okanagan was the moment I first caught a glimmer of that.
I had a feeling about them, but I didn't know. I didn't know the situation totally. I didn't know. I knew they were very close. So I was like, yeah, maybe it's just that or whatever. These two, talk about soulmates. Talk about like seeing two people and being like, yes, these two need to be together forever. They were, what can we say their nicknames?
Sure.
Bunches. And?
And this might need to be beeped because there's an F-bomb involved.
There is an F-bomb involved. So we might have to bleep it, but.
So Bunches and Buttons. Because it was her favorite band for some reason. So every morning I'd get to work and go, hey, Buttons. It's very strange. But this is our cast. This is how we work with our crew.
They're also wear Boom from the Bottom, the Boom from the Bottom song.
Yeah, they have They have their own theme song that we would win the opportunity
because there's a boom
arose.
Mic, and sometimes, you know, when the shot is really high and you can't have the boom, it'll come in from the top. No one can see me because it's an audio podcast, but I'm doing a little visual here of what happens when the boom mic appears. It would be like, you know, oh, I can't do it. But anyway.
Which would sometimes be in everybody, she's really working hard with her actual mic to demonstrate what it would look like in the situation.
I can't do it. But
and oftentimes, if it's from above, the mic would be in the shot. So they would then have to adjust the mic to the bottom.
Yes, which is where Dulé's very not dirty sounding song at all came from.
Which you would then all sing.
Yes. Anyway, so I love that that's where you discovered that, because I don't know that you told me right away that you may have held on to that one.
And I'm not a total gossip.
No. I mean, until I give you multiple wines to taste.
No, in the Okanagan.
No. Tim is a
fault. Or Kentucky Magic Water.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, it was just a suspicion. It was my first glimmer of, oh, that's happening. Yeah. And that's so awesome. Because they're amazing. And they were amazing. They would be amazing together.
They are amazing. And they are amazing together. And we love them so much. They're very, very close in our little psych unit. And we got to have them on.
We have to have them on.
Yeah, we've talked about them so much. Okay.
We have a much bigger part to this story, which comes up later in the episode. So I think I will hold it. But when I get to that part of the story, just know that that's part of the story. Started with me at the bar with our crew. Okay, you may start.
I want to know more of this story. Recently, I had a case of, I'm guessing, like vertigo. I've never had anything like it before. And it lasted quite a while. And it is not fun. But it was the perfect opportunity to try this relief band because I was getting really nauseous. And I think I talked about it a little bit on the podcast. And this thing really helps. I've now sent it to several people who I know like have motion sickness issues. And it helped me so much. You've got to check out Relief Band. Relief Band is the number one FDA-cleared anti-nausea wristband that has been clinically proven to quickly relieve and effectively prevent nausea and vomiting associated with motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, chemotherapy, and so much more. I'm going to add vertigo to this list. It's not on here, but I tried it because anybody knows if you have vertigo, you do get a little nauseous, and it definitely helped. How it works is Relief Band stimulates a nerve in the wrist that travels to the part of the brain that controls nausea. Then it blocks the signal your brain is sending to your stomach, telling you that you're sick. It's like the name says. It's legitimately a band you wear on your wrist to give you relief from nausea, and you change the intensity depending on how you are feeling to make it stronger or weaker. It's that simple. Yeah, you can actually, there's like a little dial or a little button thing. You can like turn it up if you're super nauseous, or it can be super light if you're not that nauseous. And I found it like super easy, kind of cool to wear and use, and it really did help me. It's not fun, vertigo, for those of people who've experienced it, and nausea that comes along with it. It's just not. And this helped a lot. I just sent one to my mom. Plus, the product is 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, and provides all-natural, long-lasting relief with zero effects as long as needed. And they just released their newest model, Relief Band Sport. That's the one I got my mom. The Sport is waterproof, has an extended battery life, and can even attach to your Apple or Android watch. Very cool. Don't let the fear of nausea prevent you from being present for life's important moments. Right now, you can join the over 100,000 Relief Band users with an exclusive offer just for the psychologists or in listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code PINEAPPLE, you'll receive 20% off plus free shipping and no questions asked 30-day money-back guarantee, which is so nice. Remember, it's better to have a Relief Band and not need it than to need it and not have it. So head to Relief Band, reliefband.com, and use our promo code PINEAPPLE for 20% off plus free shipping. There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to hair care. A product that works wonders for curls might make straight hair limp and greasy. You know, my hair, I have mostly, I would say, straight hair. It's kind of wavy in certain places. But overall, if I don't add any volume to it, it can look pretty flat. But thanks to my personalized Pros routine, I can honestly say I've never been more in love with my hair. Pros makes custom hair care that's effective because it is personal. Using natural ingredients with proven results, Pros customizes every product in your routine from shampoo to supplements. First, Pros starts by asking you about you as a person with their in-depth consultation. Pros asked me some unexpected things that had to do with like my zip code, what the weather is like, what my workout routine is like, what my diet is like. It's really, really specific because all that can affect your hair. Next, Pros analyzed all of my answers and determined what unique blend of ingredients should be in every product of my custom routine. Together, Pros got all of my hair goals covered. It's true. I've now had some time using it. I use the volumizing. I think there's a volumizing in my a conditioner. And then there's like a mask, but it's just for the ends, which is so nice because my hair can like get really weighted down. And even the fact that they knew that, it said just use on the ends, and it helps so much. It keeps it looking much healthier than it has. I think my hair really took a beating in the pandemic, and it's coming back thanks to Pros. As a carbon neutral certified B Corp, Pros is an industry leader in clean and responsible beauty. All their ingredients are sustainably sourced, ethically gathered, and cruelty-free. Very important to me, these things. They're also the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral. Also amazing. If you're not 100% positive Pros is the best hair care you've ever had, they will take the products back, no questions asked. Pros is the healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/pineapple. That's pros.com/pineapple for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off. I also just want to add, the packaging is so beautiful. So it's really good for your hair, but it also looks really pretty in your shower or on yourself. This is just a personal thing that I really love about it. So I'm adding that in. Would make a beautiful gift as well.
I have a fun fact about her.
You have a fun fact about Thelma Hopkins?
So she is so good in this episode, so fun and so game. Mm-hmm. And she, you and her have something very important in common. Does she have an animal rescue? I don't know, maybe.
How it's do I not know this?
No, she doesn't. I'm just saying, I don't know. Maybe she does, but that's not the fun fact I was talking about.
Oh my God. That's not,
I'm going to see how good a detective you are. I'm going to give you some clues.
Okay.
She pronounces a noun the same way that you do, which you've now taught me how to pronounce a certain noun.
I'm lost.
Okay.
Wait, give me another clue.
There's the name of a place that she pronounces the same way that you do, that I used to pronounce differently. But you've now taught me how to pronounce the name of this place properly.
Like a city?
Yes, a city. A place.
Louisville?
There you go. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, she's from Louisville?
She's from Louisville.
I did not know this.
Which I used to say Louisville. Now you now just taught me, no, it's Louisville.
Oh, I did not know that at all. I wonder if we talked about that back then. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. She's from Louisville, Kentucky. I love it. Yay, we have Thelma Hopkins. She's so good.
So you taught me to say Louisville. You kind of got to slur it a little bit and say it very quickly.
Got
to
roll.
Kind of like you've been drinking too much Kentucky Magic Water. With the best, which comes from Louisville. Oh, I forgot my other clue. My other clue I was going to lay on you was, it's the envy of the angels.
Oh, there you go. Angels Envy.
Just another mention for Angels Envy, who still has yet to sponsor us.
I love it. Yes, I know. We know. We got to get them. So we also have Oba Babatunde, who...
The man who's like Billy D level of smooth. I just didn't watch the episodes. I was like, damn it, that is a handsome man.
Yeah. He is a handsome man. Everybody, this was a very, very attractive episode. Very attractive people all around. All right. So let's jump in to episode 11. There is something about Mira. I just have to give like a giant shout out to Dulé, by the way, and Kerry Washington are dear friends. And we got to kind of see that, in person, because they had such a good time together. But also in this episode, it was just so... their chemistry was just so, so sweet. Okay. Also, I really love seeing Carrie. Like, I don't know that we've seen her do a ton of comedy. I mean, I say we've seen, like, you know, I feel like it's mostly
the world,
been
yeah.
more drama in recent years. But she's so comedically talented as well. She can do anything. Okay. Anyway, episode 11, there's something about Mira. Pineapple sighting. Sean takes some pineapple appetizers. Yes.
Oh, really? Oh, no, sorry. Because I caught a pineapple sighting later in the episode. This is not it. So you got, sorry to interrupt.
multiple pineapple settings, sightings. Sean takes some pineapple appetizers with him. There is a pineapple on the reception table after the wedding. And Sean has a pineapple emblem on his shirt when he's golfing with Gus.
That's the one I caught.
Oh, I missed all of them. Probably because I have COVID brain. There's definitely some COVID fog brain.
Which we were saying before we started, between your COVID fog brain and my brain injury brain, stroke brain recovering, between the two of us, we make one really solid host today for this episode.
Yeah, you guys, there's no telling where this will go. I love it. Or not go, because I don't know what we'll remember. Thank God, Devin, we have you here for the synopsis. But all right, cold open, flashback. Henry treats young Sean and Gus to a fancy dinner. Young Sean notices that a man put something in a lady's drink. He thinks it's poison. Turns out it's a ring. They're engaged. Mazel tov. Very cute. That was very cute. Cut back to normal time. Oh, I just have to say, little Liam, little Sean saying, ew, I have to spend the rest of my life with a girl.
Very funny.
It was just cute and boyish, and I liked it. Cut back to normal time. Sean and Gus are at a batting cage. There's a guy that has been following them all day. The guy who's been following them is a private investigator. He was hired to find the guys by Gus's wife. Wait, Gus's what?
So in addition to the psych firsts and the psychic premonitions, I've come up with a new feature called, hang on, I wrote it down. It's going to be really exciting. Wait for it. Wait for it.
We have a new feature? We have a new feature on the psych firsts?
Funny. It's called, this better be good because I've lived up to it so much, Insider Insights. When Sean says, has this interaction with the, he's given the PI crap for being a really bad tailor. And he says, you know, if you're trying to be super obvious, then you nailed it, which among our amazing crew, there's a saying, there's one of my favorite phrases of the inside phrases we do is Marco Ciccone, whenever he does really well nailing a shot, he'll go, we'll just hear something and say, nailed it.
Exactly.
And then somebody else will say, didn't totally screw it up.
Uh-huh.
So I think that this is where this first came from, was James's reading of nailed it.
Yes. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Wait, so Gus has a wife? What?
Which is this is back to a psychic premonition, a premonition of what happens in everybody's favorite psych movie, This Is Gus, where we discover that someone is married and needs to get that marriage dissolved.
I didn't even think about that. That's exactly what happens with Selene. They have
this
the whole
the level,
thing.
This is the level the show deals on.
Oh, man. And Tim, I didn't even catch that. Good for you. You were all over that. You're all over that. Full circle. We're bringing the full circle today. All right. Back at the office, Sean is upset that Gus was secretly married. He even had a book of speeches prepared for every occasion. Flashback to Gus, spring break 97. He was obviously still wearing a sweater vest. Very cute, Devin. He notices a girl spit fire from her mouth, of course, because she does. Shortly after, he and the girl get super drunk and married, and his best man was a goat. Gus called off the marriage and mentioned that he can't control himself around her. In the next scene, aha, this is the scene I want to talk about. Lassiter chases down a perp. The perp climbs a fence and Juliet catches him from surprise. Fell, that is a real fall.
If you all rewatch the episode, as I'm chasing the parkour, the amazing park performer who also did parkour, and I'm running full on after this guy, and he jumps over, like he flies over this table, and I immediately crash intensely hard. So, I had to rewatch the scene over and over and over again. Someone needs to take that scene, do it in slow-mo, and put it up on the socials.
Yeah, you really
Because,
fall.
Yes, I fell, as the kids say, as for a tea kettle.
We were so worried about you because you were still recovering.
And not only did I fall, I fell straight on my broken shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. It was awful. I remember.
If you rewatch the scene, you can see like my aviators smashing into the cement.
I laugh, but it's not funny.
No, it was actually hilarious. But here's what was going through my mind. I remember this perfectly. As I'm running after the guy, he flips the table, which was not planned. And I'm running, and I think, should I jump over the table? But literally in my mind, I thought, no, that might not be safe. So I decide I'll just step on the table, not realizing that when he flipped the table, there was an apple crate on top of it. So the table was resting on an apple crate. And when I hit it, it was like a teeter-totter. So Lassiter goes down right on his...
Yep.
Right on Tim's broken shoulder.
Yep.
I pop up. I just remember running, and I just kept running because I was so angry. Or just being mad at myself.
Yeah.
I should have just jumped over the table, but I was trying to be safe. Look what happened to me. So I just kept running, and my set chair just happened to be about 25 yards ahead of me. So I just remember running straight to my set chair, sitting down in this flop sweat because I'd been running and feeling like a goofball, having fallen in front of my friends and my crew and family.
We were just worried about you. Another moment.
And thinking, did I just re-break my freaking shoulder?
I was like, get this guy some bubble wrap. I wanted to wrap you in bubble wrap everywhere you went.
Now we know the reason why.
Yes. Aww.
And then we cut to O'Hara being a total badass and taking down the perp. Physically, like, taking him, like, I think there was a knee kick to the stomach, which is a great foreshadowing of the O'Hara badass cop, which we got a little bit. It's not total foreshadowing, because we got some of it in Scary Sharing the Axe fight. But it goes forward to the first movie in the the shotgun fight.
Yeah, the shotgun fight. And then again with Mina in the movie.
Just what a badass O'Hara is.
Thanks, Tim. I like that I got to wear sunglasses.
I have to call out what you're wearing.
Oh, God. I don't even remember.
You're back in the Pepto Pink world, but it's a blush pink.
Oh, uh-huh.
Which could also be known as a rosé pink, which is something that you enjoy.
On theme for the episode, and also something I enjoy very much in this life. Okay, here we go. The guys are shocked that I catch him, right. So Juliet's the perp, hold on. Lassiter chases down the perp. The perp climbs the fence. Juliet catches him from surprise. The guys are shocked she accomplished that. Officer McNabb asks Juliet to tutor him. Lassiter mentions he got a great score on his test, but Juliet scored higher than him. I love that I don't want to share it because I know what it's going to turn into.
So, such a funny bit between us in this scene, in this episode.
She hopes it doesn't become a thing between her and Lassiter, but of course it does. Gus and Sean arrive at the winery. Gus notices Mira. Yes.
Okay, we're at the winery now. So
yeah,
when they meet and when Gus and Mira meet, we need to give a shout out to Gus's wig in our amazing hair department, Adina Shore, and the wig that she put on Dulé for his high top fade out.
You're going back to spring break. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. His hair in the spring break is fantastic.
His 97 wig was epic.
Yeah, Adina was amazing. So Gus and John arrive at the winery. Gus notices Mira. It's Kerry Washington. Gus immediately zones out of it because how could he not? She's so stunningly beautiful. I added that. Devin didn't write that. I added that little bit. Gus can't talk. Mira says if we keep talking, he'll catch up when she's talking to Sean. He eventually speaks. Gus, that was a very funny bit too. Gus and Mira hold arms and Gus immediately knows he's in trouble. Mira mentions her family owns a few wineries and that, drumroll please, Mira is getting married. Also, her dad hates Gus. Mira gives Sean and Gus wedding invites and annulment papers. How exciting. The next day, Sean and Gus arrive at the wedding with their plus one, Henry, decked out in his finest Tommy Bahama top. Dulé through all of this was so funny, I thought. Turns out the groom is missing. Mira makes a huge scene claiming nobody gets to eat until she gets married. She is so funny playing this like goofy, wild.
Potential bridezilla.
Bridezilla, yes. The classic Henry is angry until he gets to eat runner occurs. That's funny. Back at the station, Lassiter brags about his recent paperwork. Juliet brags that she can speak fluent Spanish. They have a little cop-related pissing contest. That's very funny. Back at the wedding, Gus comforts Mira by saying Jan was an idiot. See, because Sean did that over and over and over again. Now I'm doing it. Jan was an idiot for giving her up. Sean third wheels at the table, making a house out of cigars. Mira dumps out her purse, and Sean notices a photograph of Jan, her prescription, and a guy cleaning bricks nearby. Sean speaks with Mira's mom. She takes him to a secret wine room. This was funny. And chugs her wine. James, with this wine.
Yeah.
I was Dying. And even yesterday, I was like, I was still in this phase where I was like laughing. I was coughing. I was like, I didn't even want to laugh as hard as I was laughing because it would make me cough. So I was
like, he spits it out and then decides he has to drink it when she says like it's a $300 bottle of sherry or Spanish sherry.
And then he tries to multiple times in the scene. And it every single time it's funnier. It was it's the way it just he literally just dribbles out of his mouth. I don't know why this. I can't even think about it. It was so effing funny at the time, and also rewatching it again, I forgot. Anyway, and how great is she? She's so good in the scene. Sean spits out claiming how disgusting it is. Mira's mom starts hitting on him. Her husband walks in on them. Sean notices shipping information on his paperwork. Sean and Gus speak in their office. Sean claims Mira made Jan up. Sean mentions that Mira was off her meds, and that's why she's acting up. Sean tells everyone at the station that Jan doesn't exist, and then Jan walks in. Mira hugs him. Lassiter is thrilled that Sean was wrong, of course. Juliet, yes.
I have a costume first. During this scene in Vic's office, yes. You have no jacket, but you're just like a knee-length skirt.
Oh, yeah.
It's the first time we've ever seen, I mean, we saw the skirt a few episodes ago, but it was more of a, that was like an ankle length.
Me?
Yeah. I can't remember which episode it was. We talked about it. It was down in White Rock.
Oh, when I just have a skirt. Yes, I know. It's like very, very, it was rare. It was rare. I think we were getting comfortable with like, okay, people like buy her as a detective now. We can actually, she can be in a skirt and it's not going to like throw anything off.
Right. So there was no jacket, like the pantsuit was not there. No jacket and just a skirt. And I was like, oh, that's a different O'Hara outfit.
Most probiotics don't work. If you have ever struggled to find a good brand, here's why. To be truly effective, a probiotic must survive the trip from your mouth to your gut. The majority of probiotics, even the special refrigerated ones, die in your harsh stomach acid well before they get to where they're needed. That's why I'm a fan of Just Thrive probiotic. Their exclusive strains are designed by nature to put up an armor-like shell where conditions get rough. In fact, studies have proven that Just Thrive probiotic arrives 100% alive in your gut and ready to go to work. That's what makes them so uniquely effective at controlling gas, constipation, and bloating, and providing much-needed immune support, which we all need right now. Their vegan, non-GMO, gluten, dairy, and soy-free formula can even support beautiful skin, better sleep, and easier weight management. For exceptional health, there is nothing like the award-winning Just Thrive probiotic. Thousands of customers can't be wrong. Make this your year. Support your immune health and just Thrive. Get 15% off when you go to justthrivehealth.com and use code pineapple at checkout. Gaps in the diet shouldn't be ignored. Over 97% of women aged 19 to 50 are not getting enough vitamin D from their diet, and 95% are not getting the recommended daily intake of key omega-3s. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women ages 18 plus. It is formulated with nutrients to help support brain health, bone health, blood health, and provide antioxidant support. But Ritual didn't stop there. They invested a gold standard university-led clinical trial to prove the impact of Essential for 18 Plus Multivitamin. The results? Essential for Women 18 Plus was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in 12 weeks. I have been under the weather over this last week, and I will say I'm very grateful. I was very grateful for my vitamins, very grateful to my body for healing. And Ritual, I feel like Ritual is now a part of my daily ritual, and I'm really grateful for it. Ritual right now is offering our listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/pineapple and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/pineapple. Hold on. Juliet says she has a case to work on. Lassiter runs back to his desk to work on one as well. The contest continues. Sean knocks on Mira's door. Sean asks why she faked the pictures. Sean noticed the shaving cut in multiple photos. Sean and Gus go to the golf course. Sean does a weird dance before hitting every time, which is also very funny. Sean notices Mira's dad and Jan at the course. Jan is angrily on the phone. Sean picks up the golf ball right before it goes in. Jan meets with the private investigator from earlier. They're yelling at each other. They act natural, which is one of my most favorite bits between them ever.
I feel like this wasn't, this could not have been the first act natural, but I feel like it might have been.
I don't think it is either, but it's a really good one because they're just, there's no reason for them to be there. And the act natural part was extremely, was very exaggerated and I appreciated it.
And I did love how the bit between when Dulé's less than excited to be golfing and Sean says, don't worry, I'm going to keep the Caddyshack references to a minimum. And one of the next lines he says is a line from Caddyshack.
Yes. What's the line? Wait.
I think this club's restricted. Don't tell them you're Jewish.
Yes, exactly. That's very funny. Hang on. Okay, so here we are.
And then, as they're golfing in real life, this is, I think, when Dulé started picked up a joy of golf. So he started taking lessons for a while.
Actually, Dulé used
to
bring.
Yeah, Dulé was taking lessons for a while and was trying to get into golf. I don't know if he still is playing. He's so darn busy. I doubt he has time between working and fathering.
Yes, he's a busy guy, and his show just got picked up. We're so happy. He and James, both of their shows picked up.
Oh, I didn't know James' show got picked up.
Yes. A Million Little Things, I think, is in season 5 now. And Wonder Years got a season 2. So happy for Dulé and Saladin.
Holy guacamole.
I know. It's very exciting. And Jasmine's
Dulé was
going to
be our guest for this. Dulé was going to be our guest for this episode, but he's too busy at the off runs being a television star.
We would have loved to have him. And he was so sweet. He tried so hard. He was trying to work it out just with his flight and everything. And we just wouldn't have been able to get it done in time to have it for you guys on Thursday. So it's just us, but we're going to hopefully have Dulé right away. So anyway, okay. Juliet and Lassiter fight over who gets to interrogate the perp. They time each other trying to break the guy. I loved this scene. This was so fun to shoot with you. I remember that. We had such a good time.
We got to do
some comedy. Anyway, the chief needs them for a more important case. Mira's fiance is dead. Sean notices the same ribbon from the private investigator in the hotel where Jan died.
So he was what?
So it looks like Jan was
murdered.
That was good. That was our first murdered of the
episode.
I took
a big breath for that one.
Yes, I liked it. Okay, back at the station, Sean mentions he got a 100% on the test when he was 15. Both Lassie and Jules are upset. I love that for us, we got to now bond over the fact that we were both so upset that he got 100 that, like, you and I were cool now.
Because I think you got an 8.4 and I think I got a 7.5 on the test.
Yeah. And he got 100. Gus and Mira sneak around the vineyard. Someone pulls a gun on Gus. Oh, yes. That was scary. Sean asks for a gun. He explains to Jules and Lassie that Jan is a con man who worked with the guy who stole the fridge van.
Did you catch when James has, Sean has a scene with Mira? And he keeps going back and forth between Mira wants her fiance's name pronounced Jan, and James is like, no, I'm not going to do it, Jan. And at one point, he throws out Jan Brady.
He does, Jan Brady. That's very funny. He did. I think that's why I started this episode by being like, Jan. I'm like, ugh, it's because he says it so many times. Anyway, okay. The gang runs to the hotel. Sean explains what happened, but then Gus explains what really happened. Mira visits them at their office and tells them that she's moving to Greenland to save polar bears. Gus apologizes to Sean for never telling him that he was married. Sean tells Gus he too was married. He shows Gus a picture. It's him skydiving with a rabbi, which is very funny. I loved this bit of the telepathy between Gus and Sean when she's like, Gus, want to come with or whatever she says. And he just by looking at Sean, he can break down that they have very important work to do and he absolutely cannot do that.
Because she wants to take him hang gliding, right?
Hang gliding. That's what it is. Yeah. Oh, big shout out actually, because I wanted to say Joanna Kearns. I think she's
director.
So good. Yeah. She was our director and I loved her. And I remember, I believe it was on this episode that, because I think she did one in season 1 too.
I think she did.
Yeah. So she.
I think she did poker.
What?
I think she did poker better than
that's right. She, for me, anyway, watching her, I thought she had such a flow. There was like a flow. Everything felt like a dance. I always loved her. She would have these kind of shots that always felt like the camera would move and there'd be a lot of people and kind of, it was always just kind of big and really beautiful and well choreographed. And we like Joanna Kearns. I think she does a ton of A Million Little Things too.
There was a pretty major story that.
Oh, that we went right over.
We went right over.
What?
So the scene we were running, you know, I mentioned how I had a big story regarding the crew at the bar.
Yes.
So the scene where Lassiter and O'Hare are running around the winery, I am monstrously hungover here. So because what happened, see what happened, Your Honor, is as we were all at the hotel bar, it was a work night. So mm-hmm. I said, I'm going up to bed. So I started walking out to the elevator. Mm-hmm. And on the way out the door, I could have taken a right to go up to the elevator to go to room and go to bed. And I see Clayton, our third camera assistant, getting this big grin on his face saying, Tim, come on. So it was like the whole camera crew was there. So it was one of those sliding door moments where you can go forward, you can take a right, you can take a left. And I kept walking and I followed Clayton out in the camera crew and proceeded to find ourselves in one of many bars and just drink way too much. Like a epic night of like, wow, that was intensely too much alcohol. I think at one point in the next morning, some crew member woke up in a neighbor's front yard. I'm pretty sure I remember like a crew member passing out in somebody's front yard. Don't know if it was a camera crew member. Wasn't a cast member, I know that. I do remember at some point there was a slot machine involved somewhere. So where that slot machine was, I don't know.
Who knows?
But I went out with Clayton and the crew and just got stupid hammered, like slept through my alarm.
Oh, no.
If I slept at all. So this is one of those days where Danny Miller, who you remember from last episode, really earned all our love because I called Dan and was just like, yeah, man, I've broken the cardinal rule. I missed my call time because I was drunk. So Danny saves me. I finally get to set and he buys me time. He lets me I'm able to go on my trailer and just sleep. I slept for like a good solid 45 minutes because it wasn't just that. There was maybe some nausea and vomit the night before. It was just there was no sleep.
Oh, brutal, Tim.
So I get to set for the winery scene where I then have to run around. We have to run up and down stairs. And as soon as the doors open, I smell the wine because we're in a freaking winery and just almost want to hurl. So every second of this, and Joanna just looks at me in one moment. I just kind of remember her just sort of smiling and slowly shaking her head. Like, you knucklehead, you dummy. But I do have to say, I did not hold up filming because that is the major cardinal sin in film and television production. Yeah, there was, so every scene, between every take on this, during these scenes, I'm just sitting on an apple box, just trying to do deep breathing so I don't throw up again. As for that, it's like, yes, I'm sure I was nauseous, but I was just so tired. Like that, you've just flown across the world, tired to your bones.
Yeah.
Jet laggy. But here's the thing, kids who are listening, especially college age kids who are just discovering alcohol. You learn from your mistakes, and I never made that mistake again. Cut to several years later when I was in England with Gallivant, and the pub crawls were always on a Friday night. And it was, and we went on field trips after this. We had Sunshine Coast for the Insane Asylum episode.
Right.
And there were plenty of other field trips where we were out with the crew. And did I ever get stupid vomit drunk again before work? Never.
Never. Not once.
Lesson learned. If you're going to go out drinking with your crew, always go with the producer like we did on Gallivan. In fact, John Hoberg, my producer on that show, was just over last night.
We were talking about
I found a photo on an old laptop of mine. It's just a picture of my watch. And it reads 4 a.m. because John and I were out on a pub crawl till 4 a.m. Yeah, so the lesson is always, if you're going to go out on a raging night and you're working on a television show or movie, go with your producer so you can blame them.
Oh, that's such a good note, Tim.
And then when I did Carter and June in New Orleans, there were many nights where I would walk home from an evening out and watch the sunrise. But I was always with one of my producers, and I was working, we were working split, so I wasn't working the next day. So yes, there's alcohol involved in television film production sometimes, but you just gotta regulate your hours. And
oh my goodness. Tim, we have some fan questions. Oh, we already kind of said this, but what was it like working with Kerry Washington? Dreamy.
To get somebody as beautiful as that and as talented as that and have their personality match their kindness is
and intelligence.
Rare. Like Maggie just said, she was dreamy. She was so nice and so funny and talented.
She's like angelic-like. I don't know. There's something about her. She's just a bright light.
There's something about Mira.
There's something about Mira. There's something about Kerry. What was in the wine glasses instead of wine? Oh, this is a little trick. It's usually red grape juice or white grape juice. Literally, it's grape juice. It's just not the fermented kind that we all like. Was it filmed at an actual vineyard? Yes, it was at it was in the Okanagan Valley. Do you remember where we stayed, Tim? Do you remember what vineyard it was on?
I don't.
I don't either.
I had other things going on in my head at that time.
Yeah.
Although, I noticed the exteriors, I think, must have been out in West Van because there was ocean views.
That was, I believe, also at the vineyard. It was we were way high, but you could see out to the water at certain places. I do remember that. I just can't remember what the actual vineyard was. But I bet some of it, I'm sure we did some in West Van as well, because it did have a West Van kind of a look to it. Okay, did Tim re-injure his collarbone with that tumble over the table in the chase scene?
I think we addressed that. No, actually, I did not re-injure it. Although, like I said, it is still overlapping. So I'm sure it didn't help. But I was pretty sure that I hit the cement so hard. I was like, oh, I just broke my shoulder.
So hard. You hit so hard. It was, yeah. So you already told the psychos to watch in slow motion. I don't know.
I think at one point I got back to the camera department and said, so Steve was there. I was like, well, I guess we're not using that take. And he was like, oh, we are absolutely using that take. Are you kidding me?
Okay. Who in the cast would be best at a standardized test? I'm going to go Kirsten.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think Kirsten would ace any standardized test. Ooh, who in the cast has the most highbrow taste in wine?
I'm going to say Maggie Lawson.
I was about to say, would that be me? yeah, probably.
I think Dudley's more of a whiskey guy. I don't know that he's...
I would say Dudley too. Dudley and I are up there, but yeah, I'm probably the more wino of the crew. Yeah, you've got whiskey, Dudley whiskey, James vodka. Everybody has their specialty. Oh my gosh, this was such a fun episode, and I'm sure we like missed some things too, but like it was so great, and hopefully we'll have Dudley on soon and he'll remember some stories that he might be able to like bring back as well, because he and Kerry were so close and so adorable. But that's our episode this week, guys. Yay. We made
it
through.
And if anything, my hangover story could be a PSA.
Yes, I love it. The more you know.
Today, on a very special episode of The Psychologists Are In.
Yes.
Tim
also
talks about
hashtag PSA.
Drinking too much.
Yes. Tim, I love you. It's so good to see your face. It's such a bright spot after these last few days. Oh, my goodness.
I'm so glad you're feeling better.
Thank you. Thank you. I might be breaking a sweat right now, but it's all going to be okay.
Should go lay down.
Going to go lay down.
See you next week, everybody. Or hear you next week.
Hear you next week. Tim, we never said, what did we just do?
Oh, I'm pretty sure we just podcast the shit out of it.
We did. That's what we did. We podcasted the shit out of it. Okay, great. Just want to make sure. Okay, love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
What a fun episode. You know Tim and I love our cast and crew trips to wine country. Maybe movie 4 can take place there. Anyway, thanks again for listening to episode 11 of The Psychologists Are In. Follow us on our Instagram at PsychologistRN and our Twitter at PsychologistPod. See you all next week. Psychos, we love you. Thank you for listening. Also, thank you for your feedback. We love it. Thank you for your art. Keep it coming. We love you so much.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device or play on PC through Facebook Games.